Slowly and watchfully, they walked round the perimeter of the clearing. This seemed to go down very well with the natives, who bowed to them very slightly and then went about their business. Ford and Arthur continued their journey through the wood. A few hundred yards past the clearing, they suddenly came upon a small pile of fruit lying in their path. Berries that looked remarkably like raspberries and blackberries, and pulpy, green-skinned fruit that looked remarkably like pears. So far, they had steered clear of the fruit and berries they had seen, though the trees and bushes were laden with them. "Look at it this way," Ford Prefect had said. "Fruit and berries on strange planets either make you live or make you die. Therefore, the point at which to start toying with them is when you're going to die if you don't. That way, you stay ahead. The secret of healthy hitchhiking is to eat junk food." They looked at the pile that lay in their path with suspicion. It looked so good, it made them almost dizzy with hunger. "Look at it this way," said Ford. Yes, said Arthur. "I'm trying to think of a way of looking at it which means we get to eat it," said Ford. The leaf-dappled sun gleamed on the plump skins of the things which looked like pears. The things which looked like raspberries and strawberries were fatter and riper than any Arthur had ever seen, even in ice cream commercials. "Why don't we eat them and think about it afterwards?" he said.
"Maybe that's what they want us to do."
"All right, look at it this way. Sounds good so far. It's there for us to eat. Either it's good or it's bad. Either they want to feed us or to poison us. If it's poisonous and we don't eat it, they'll just attack us some other way. If we don't eat, we lose out either way."
"I like the way you're thinking," said Ford. "Now eat one."
Hesitantly, Arthur picked up one of the things that looked like pears.
"I always thought that about the Garden of Eden story," said Ford.
"Hey?"
"Garden of Eden, tree, apple, that bit, remember?"
"Yes, of course I do."
"Your god person puts an apple tree in the middle of a garden and says, 'Do what you like, guys. Oh, but don't eat the apple.' Surprise, surprise, they eat it and he leaps out from behind a bush shouting, 'Gotcha!'"
"It wouldn't have made any difference if they hadn't eaten it."
"Why not?" "Because if you're dealing with somebody who has the sort of mentality which likes leaving hats on the pavement with bricks under them, you know perfectly well they won't give up. They'll get you in the end."
"What are you talking about?"
"Never mind, eat the fruit."
"You know, this place almost looks like the Garden of Eden."
"Eat the fruit."
"Sounds quite like it too." Arthur took a bite from the thing which looked like a pear. "It's a pear," he said. A few moments later, when they had eaten the lot, Ford Prefect turned round and called out.
"Thank you! Thank you very much," he called. "You're very kind."
They went on their way. For the next 50 miles of their journey eastward, they kept on finding the occasional gift of fruit lying in their path. And though they once or twice had a quick glimpse of a native man creature amongst the trees, they never again made direct contact. They decided they rather liked a race of people who made it clear that they were grateful simply to be left alone. The fruit and berries stopped after 50 miles, because that was where the sea started. Having no pressing calls on their time, they built a raft and crossed the sea. It was relatively calm, only about 60 miles wide, and they had a reasonably pleasant crossing, landing in a country that was at least as beautiful as the one they had left. Life was, in short, ridiculously easy, and for a while at least, they were able to cope with the problems of aimlessness and isolation by deciding to ignore them. When the craving for company became too great, they would know where to find it. But for the moment, they were happy to feel that the Golgafrinchans were hundreds of miles behind them. Nevertheless, Ford Prefect began to use his sub-ether sensomatic more often again. Only once did he pick up a signal, but that was so faint and from such enormous distance that it depressed him more than the silence that had otherwise continued unbroken. On a whim, they turned northwards. After weeks of travelling, they came to another sea, built another raft, and crossed it. This time it was harder going. The climate was getting colder. Arthur suspected a streak of masochism in Ford Prefect. The increasing difficulty of the journey seemed to give him a sense of purpose that was otherwise lacking. He strode onwards relentlessly. Their journey northwards brought them into steep, mountainous terrain of breathtaking sweep and beauty. The vast, jagged, snow-covered peaks ravished their senses. The cold began to bite into their bones. They wrapped themselves in animal skins and furs, which Ford Prefect acquired by a technique he once learned from a couple of ex-Praelite monks running a mind-surfing resort in the hills of Hunian. The galaxy is littered with ex-Praelite monks, all on the make, because the mental control techniques the Order has evolved as a form of devotional discipline are, frankly, sensational. And extraordinary numbers of monks leave the Order just after they have finished their devotional training and just before they take their final vows to stay locked in small metal boxes for the rest of their lives. Ford's technique seemed to consist mainly of standing still for a while and smiling. After a while, an animal, a deer perhaps, would appear from out of the trees and watch him cautiously. Ford would continue to smile at it. His eyes would soften and shine, and he would seem to radiate a deep and universal love, a love which reached out to embrace all of creation. A wonderful quietness would descend on the surrounding countryside, peaceful and serene, emanating from this transfigured man. Slowly the deer would approach, step by step, until it was almost nuzzling him, whereupon Ford Prefect would reach out to it and break its neck. Pheromone control, he said it was. You just have to know how to generate the right smell.